We are gathered, the Son of God who has come in the flesh. And we are in the Old Testament scriptures tonight, so as is our custom, I will give you what I always write down as the Yahweh clause, namely that whenever we encounter the words Lord or God, written entirely in capital letters in the Old Testament of the New King James Version, I will read that for you as Yahweh, because that is the signal, the indication that the translators give us that at that place we see the name Yahweh in the Old Testament. So, behold, I have told you. All right, let's turn to the book of Proverbs, please. Last week we dealt with the Evil, and we were in Proverbs chapter 27. In verse 22, though you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle, along with crushed grain, his foolishness will not depart from him. I said that that word fool is the word evil. So we gave you a composite picture of the evil, kind of fool that that is. Instead of going to 23 tonight, we're going to do the same thing with the other word that is most often in Proverbs translated as fool, that is the word kesil. We saw last week concerning the evil that he is stubborn, he is angry when disagreed with, and he is untouched by the truth of instruction. So he does not receive correction well or at all. And we'll see that some, if not all, of those indicative characteristics of the Evil are also the case with the Kesil. We are used to calling the Evil the silly fool, and calling this the Kesil the fat fool, because it literally comes from the word that means loins, which is an old English word for your waist, or the flanks, that's this back here where fat collects. Actually, why it collects all over the place here, but this back here, back and sides of your low back, this word comes from there, picturing the fact that this fool is dull, slow. We're talking about a spiritual dullness, a spiritual slowness. But lest you think that the Evil is silly but harmless, or that the Kesil is slow to arrive at truth, but he's not bad or mean or anything, lest you think that, as we look through the characteristics of the Kesil, as we did the Evil last week, these two are evil. I think about how would we translate this. If we translate one of them as fool, how would we translate the other? But I'm not convinced, because of the evil nature that both of them have, that I would maybe translate either one of them as fool. In English, that word's come to be just more like the silly side of the Evil, but it doesn't necessarily communicate anything malicious. And there is something malicious about both of these words, these people that are defined by these words that are translated fool. We've said in the past, when we're in the book of Proverbs and we encounter the word fool, I've kind of joked with you in the past and I said, "Don't put your money down. What kind of fool are you going to bet this is?" There is another one, the Nabal. You know Abigail's husband that you're used to pronouncing as Nabal? That's the word fool, this third kind, Nabal. And she says, Nabal is his name and Nabalah is with him. That is, fool is his name and foolishness is with him. If you translate Nabal as fool, then Nabalah is foolishness. But if you translate Evil as fool, then Eveleth is foolishness. There is a word that translates the stuff that the Kasil operates in, used, I believe, only two times, though, in the Old Testament. So today we're going to look at we'll call this tape, the composite picture of the Kasil. And as I was beginning to say, if in Proverbs, when I say to you, put your money down, which one do you think this is? When you see the word fool, you think it's Evil or Nabal or Kasil. The smart money is on Kasil because it's used way more than Nabal. That one's used least of the three in the Scripture as a whole. Then second to least, right in the middle, the Evil, what we looked at last week. This is, the Kasil is by far in the majority of times that you see the word fool in the book of Proverbs. So many times that we don't have time to look at all of them tonight. He is popping up everywhere in Proverbs and elsewhere in the Scripture as well. So what we're going to do is we have categorized these. We've got a lot of work ahead of us, actually. I need to stop setting up things and just get at it, because there's a lot here. I've got 16 points on the Kasil. These are definitive points. That is, it defines for you. It helps you get a picture of what this person is like. Many other times, but doesn't really tag the nature, the character of the Kasil. Verses like, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? Okay, he's talking about a man who's wise in his own opinion. He thinks he knows everything. He's right all the time. There's more hope for a Kasil than for him. That really doesn't define the Kasil. It assumes that you know what a Kasil is and what he's like. He's saying a person like this, there's more hope for a Kasil kind of fool than there is this guy. So that really doesn't help us define the Kasil. The verses we're looking at tonight and these 16 points that I've characterized the verses under are going to show you what a Kasil is like. From usage, then, we're going to get a composite composed of all the parts, put all the parts of this picture together, and get a composite picture of the Kasil. All right? Let's go. One. I'm going to start every one of these with Kasil fools something. Kasil fools hate truth and therefore despise corrective instruction. Proverbs 1:22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge. Kasils hate knowledge. Can you be one of these and be a believer? Absolutely, you can. There are Christian Kasils walking around on the earth today. They're the ones that magnify emotion and experience and downplay knowledge. They hate knowledge. Then Proverbs under this category, Proverbs 14:7. Go from the presence of a foolish man, that's your Kasil, when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. Because he hates knowledge, he doesn't have it. He can't speak it. Proverbs 17:16. Most of these are in Proverbs, but not all of them. Proverbs 17:16. Why is there in the hand of a Kasil the purchase price of wisdom, since he has no heart for it? He doesn't have the necessary disposition that values knowledge in order to make use of that price of wisdom. I always, when I deal with this verse, I always think of the Kasils. I'm not saying that everybody, when I say this, I'm not saying that everybody I went to Bible college with was a fool. I'm saying there were some. And I always think of the Kasils that I went to Bible college with. There's a price. There's money. There's a check. There's tuition that they're paying to the rest of us are here to get wisdom. But why are you paying money out to get something that you have no heart for? You do not have the necessary makeup. You don't have the inclination. You don't have the disposition. You don't have the loyalty to truth. You don't have the stuff that will be the prerequisite for your getting that wisdom. Proverbs 23:9. All under Kasils hate knowledge and therefore despise corrective instruction. 23:9, Proverbs. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, of the Kasil variety, and I'd put in parentheses, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Now, like last week with the Avil, we said it's not just showing us what the Avil is like, but how you should respond to him. If you recognize this person is in this category, and you should do that, and is not judgmentalism, provided that your judgment is correct. It is just a dispassionate, loving, not hateful recognition. This person in front of me is a Kasil. Alright, when you can ascertain that, this tells you what to do, right? Don't speak in his hearing. Don't feel like it is your responsibility to educate everyone who has less doctrinal education than you do. Sometimes they are not receptive, and such is the case with the Kasil. And finally, under this category, Proverbs 28:26. Proverbs 28:26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Kasil, the Hebrew word. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. There's this song that is played on Christian radio. I hate songs like this. They have an extremely infectious tune to them, so that they lodge in my mind, and I can't get rid of them. But they are doctrinally idiocy. On the way over here, this song came on, and I thought, oh no. And there is nothing that would mark this song as even Christian. There's nothing in it that even merits it being called Christian. You could play this on secular radio, nobody would ever think, it came from a Christian group. There's nothing in it. Now, if I tell you some of the lyrics of it, all right? Why does it come to mind when I bring up this one right here? Let's see. trying to get the words to the tune. Must not be as infectious as I thought it was. You need to believe in yourself, it says. And I think of this verse every time I hear it. He who trusts in his own heart is a kaseel. You need to believe in yourself. You need to trust in your own heart, in your own thinking. And then there's the arrogance if you accept what he's saying about you. You're crazy beautiful. All right? He who trusts in his own heart, that is, you know, follow your heart. How many times do you hear that on television? This person is a fool if they do it. Why is that categorized here? Well, you're not going to listen to instruction and be corrected by that instruction if you're committed to your own viewpoint that's against the Scripture. Somebody's going to lose. There's what you think. There's what the Scripture says. These two are in absolute opposition. They shouldn't be, because you should trash your thoughts and accept what Scripture says to make all of your opinions. But if they don't, if they're not jiving here, then yours is against Scripture, and the kaseel is committed to his view. He will either make the Scripture twisted agree with his view, which is what believers do all the time these days, or he will just reject flat out of hand what the Scripture's testimony is and accept his view. Don't trust in your own heart. That is, don't bank on and be loyal to your own opinion when it is revealed that it is against the revealed Word of God. All right, second part of, second point as to what makes up a kaseel. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 10. Kaseel fools slander. That is, they speak negatively about other people when it is not necessary, just because they want to. And whatever reason makes them want to, doesn't make any difference. They're wrong. Kaseel fools slander. Let's just very quickly talk about what slander is. Slander is anything of a negative nature, true or false, that colors the perception of one person against somebody else. That means it's any negative thing that is said against another that is not having a biblical reason to be said. Sometimes there are biblical reasons to say negative things about other people. Don't judge someone as being a slanderer every time they say something negative about someone else. But I will tell you this. Probably they're slandering. Because those biblically defined exceptions are so rare in human experience that you have probably not heard anybody say anything negative to you. You've probably not said anything to someone else about someone else that was negative, and it not have been slander. Probably. I know I've done that, both. But I mean, I know I have said negative things about someone else when it was biblically necessary to do that. And I know that I have slandered as well. So, fools do this. Proverbs 10, that is the slander thing. Proverbs 10:18. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a kaseel. Have you heard anything about someone else that was of a very derogatory nature, that was defamation of character about someone else? I can say this week, we could extend it today. Have you heard that? Or have you said that to someone else and it wasn't absolute. You were not conscious of a verse of the scripture that was telling you to say that. It was slander. What if the person is a kasil that you're talking about? Still slander. What if the person is evil? Still slander. Unless you're protecting someone, now don't clean it up in your mind now, if you're I was protecting that person. No, you know what your real motive was. That's slander, and fools do it all the time. Kasil fools do it all the time. Third point. Kasil fools are self-destructively lazy. Or we could say they are lazy to the point of self-destruction. Proverbs 1:32. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools, kasils, will destroy them. Then again, Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, and verse 5. Georgiana, you can just turn to the marker. I was all set to the one that wasn't in Proverbs. I was all ready to mark it. Realized I forgot my glasses. Needed a large print Bible. I switched with Georgiana. Yours is marked to the place there. Ecclesiastes 4:5. The fool, henceforth I'll just insert Kasil when we see it, folds his hands and consumes his own flesh. The idea is, picture somebody laying down like this. Okay? And he's eating away his own flesh because of his laziness. Point 4. You know what? That's real close to there. Ecclesiastes 5. Kasil fools don't pay vows to God. They make a vow to God and then they don't stand up to it. Ecclesiastes 5:4. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for He has no pleasure in kasils. Pay what you have vowed. The idea is you make a vow to God, you don't keep it, you're a kasil. Point 5. Kasils. Understand that the plural of kasil is kasilim in Hebrew, but we're kind of anglicizing this for you. Kasils, kasil fools, are and love evil. That's why they're not just silly people. They're damaging. They are destructive. They are malicious. They are wicked people. Proverbs 10:23. First of our verses to prove this point. To do evil is like sport to a fool, to a kasil. But a man of understanding has wisdom. That is wisdom enough to know I'm not going to do this evil. So to do evil, fools love kasils, the kind of fool loves to do that the way some of you like to play soccer or volleyball or something. They just love to do evil. Again, 13:19. A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to kasils to depart from evil. It's like loathing to them to think of stopping evil, ceasing in their evil. Point 6, kasil fools are ragingly self-confident. Proverbs 14:16. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a kasil rages and is self-confident. He does not accept God's estimate of himself and rectify that aberration. Rather, he is so confident, so certain, so self-assured that he can even rage in self-defense over his actions or words. Then again, Proverbs 28:26. On this point, fools are ragingly self-confident. Proverbs 28:26. He who trusts in his own heart is a Kasil. We've already seen it. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Point 7, and I would say this is most prominent as to the characteristics of a Kasil in Scripture, and I say that because there are more verses that prove this one issue as to the character of the Kasil than any other. In other words, this one out of the 16 that I'm bringing to bear, you might become maybe more specific than I am and take some of the verses that I left out maybe and say, I think we can get something beyond what you presented here. Maybe you have more points than these 16, but no matter what you come up with, this one is going to be the one that has the most verse support for this characteristic of the Kasil. Ready? Point 7, Kasil fools don't restrain their mouths, but speak all their thoughts. That is the most prominent, if we just go by number of verses in the Scripture that defines, that paints the picture for us of a Kasil. This is the most prominent. Kasil fools don't restrain their mouths, but speak all their thoughts. So since this is the most prominent as to number of verses, you know they got a number of verses coming up, right? Proverbs 12:23. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools, Kasils, proclaims foolishness. You don't have anything good to say. Nobody has any need to hear any of the things that you're saying. This is categorized as foolishness, but does not stop the Kasil. He vents everything that he thinks, all of his foolishness, all that he has to offer. He does not restrain himself from speaking. Proverbs 13:16. Every prudent man acts with knowledge. Man italicized, every prudent person acts with knowledge. That is, they take the knowledge that they have, and they put it into practice, they live this, they are practicable with the knowledge that they've received. One of the things that that's going to do is that's going to put a clamp on the human muzzle. That's going to make you shut up. That's what prudent people do. Not so the fool. Every prudent person acts with knowledge, but a Kasil lays open folly. You would say that the prudent man actually has beneficial, advantageous, edifying, good things to say. And he doesn't say them all the time. The Kasil has nothing of value to say, but he lays it all open. So there is the arrogant. You know, I speak my mind. And by so doing, you reveal your state as a Kasil. 14:33, same idea. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. Now, the word rests here doesn't just mean it's there. It's at ease there. It rests there. That is, wisdom, if you can pick, let me be wisdom for a minute. Well, that's, I don't know. The Lord Jesus Christ is wisdom. So let me just Let me represent wisdom as a concept, not the person. I'm not the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm wisdom, now picture around me a big heart. You know, there's the ventricles and the, you know, aorta and all that. I'm inside somebody's heart. Wisdom isn't like, you know, just gotta tell somebody what I know. I'm gonna get out of here. It's not wisdom. Wisdom is at ease. Wisdom does not feel pressured to get out. Wisdom, and someone with wisdom, doesn't feel like he's always got to correct you. He heard, you know, he was here. I overhear stuff all the time I never address. Lord's Day. There's a lot more of us on the Lord's Day here. And you will hear, after you hear these words, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. After you hear those words, it'll start slow, but this buzz will start to happen, and this background noise of people, people talking all over. You can, if you want to eavesdrop, why would you want to do that, you busybody you? But if you wanted to eavesdrop, you could just kind of, you know, walk around unnoticed, like, I'm going to the back room. And you could listen to people and overhear all kinds of things. If you have wisdom, you don't want to do that in the first place. But if you have wisdom and you happen to overhear something, you thought, that's wrong. You don't feel like, I'm going to correct that. If you're a Kaseel, because you're ragingly self-confident, one of our other points here, and you trust in your own heart, you think you're right all the time. And not only do you think you're right all the time, but your arrogance makes it that you must correct everyone who is not perfectly aligned with you. So there is, while wisdom is at ease, just thankful, be in the heart of this person. That's enough. Folly is restless. Folly wants to get out and correct somebody. The Kaseel views himself as the amateur savior of every little situation. And so, in 14:33, wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. But what is in the heart of Kaseels is made known. You never have to really go to a Kaseel and you say, what do you think about this issue? They're going to tell you. Whether you want them to tell you or not, whether it's their business or not, the Kaseel is going to tell you. 15:2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of Kaseels pours forth foolishness. That tells me that part of what using knowledge rightly is about is correct timing. The fool is over against the wise person here. The fool, the Kaseel, he just pours it forth. In distinction to that, the wise uses knowledge rightly in that he holds back even things that he knows are correct. 15:14, this is all under, fools don't restrain their mouths, but speak all their thoughts, lest you lose sight of the point we're trying to prove. 15:14, the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. It gravitates to things that are anti-biblical, and pours them forth at other times. 18:2. Same point. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. A Kaseel doesn't take pleasure in learning. He takes pleasure in teaching though he doesn't have anything teaching worthy to say. 18:7. A Kasiel's mouth is his destruction, and his lips the snare of his soul. He talks all the time. He speaks. He can't shut up. He can't snap his mouth shut, and as a result, he receives the inevitable adverse consequences of such indiscretion in the use of his mouth. Then Proverbs 29:11. Proverbs 29:11, a Kasiel vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Now note this, a Kasiel vents. We even talk about it like that, right? Somebody's venting. Like they're just, you know, they're just letting it all out. A Kasiel vents all of his feelings. That is, have you ever heard of it this way, talked about this way? Again, so many of my idioms I'm finding as I scan here. I am, besides Jerry and Judy, and Jordana, I am the oldest person in this room. They know what I'm talking about. Have you ever heard this before? Probably you're going to smile patronizingly and look at me and no. I've never heard of this before. Somebody who wears their emotions on their sleeve. That's why I always roll my sleeves up when the weather gets warmer. Because my emotions are going to be tucked in the third, you know, like, roll it up once, twice, three times. It's, you know, six times by the time I'm done, front and back of that. Will roll up there. It's tucked under. You don't even know what I feel. When you wear your emotions on your sleeve, it's like, we can all see your sleeves. It's right out here. It's like you're giving it to everybody. Right on your sleeve. Fools, they're feeling oriented. They are emotionally motivated. They tell you everything that they're feeling. And they try to make you feel guilty. Like you're not transparent for not doing that. They try to say that you're hypocritical. You're not being real with people because you're not telling us everything about how you feel and think. Actually, you're being wise, according to the Scripture. You're holding back. Think there are things you could say, there are things you could express as to your feelings, but as I just read, I think it was yesterday, the Lord Jesus Christ said in the verse that I quote rather often with you, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak his word. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ did not come to speak his mind. The Lord Jesus Christ came to speak whatever the Father told him to speak. And he had all kinds of other things on his mind. He and the Father agree on everything, but the Father doesn't want everything divulged at the same time. There is a wisdom of execution. There is a prudence of timing. There is a discretion as to the selection of who I say this to, or who I keep this from, based on largely, are they a Kasiel? Are they someone who's an Evil last week? Are they a scorner? Or maybe nothing morally wrong with them at all. They're not scorners, Kasiels, or Evils. They're the apostles who were not in any one of those three categories. I don't care how many times they messed up. They messed up less than you and I would mess up if we were living with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years or more. But he said to them, I have many things to say, but you cannot bear them now. They're not fools. They're not scorners. They're not fools of any variety. They're just not mature enough to handle this now. So he said that when the Holy Spirit came, once he left, as once the Lord Jesus Christ left and the Holy Spirit came, he will guide you into all truth. He will reveal to you things to come. He will take of what is mine and disclose it to you. There's a time they're going to get it all. But right now they can't bear it. So he was very selective as to when and to whom he spoke to. But a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. A wise man, someone who has wisdom, is not going to let you know how they feel all the time. Actually, very seldom. This is like this is not saying it's something that is never operated into the contrary, but it is saying this is the modus operandi of a wise person. This is the mode of operation. This is what they do. You will, most of the time, you will not know how they feel. Then to Ecclesiastes 5, same principle. You see how many times we have this? Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 3. We're dealing with facile fools don't restrain their mouths, but speak all their thoughts. Ecclesiastes 5, 1. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near, that is to the house of God, to hear, rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. Now, hearing is one thing. It's opposite. If I said, what's the opposite of hearing? Listening. I mean, it's speaking. It's making. I'm either hearing you or I'm giving you something to hear. The sacrifice of fools here is talking. For they do not know that they do evil. Now at this point, this is what so much of Christian church in our day is. Drawing near, not to hear, but to offer the sacrifice of fools. Things that others can hear. That's foolishness. It happens so many ways in so many churches. You draw near to the house of God. This building is not the house of God. This is just a building. But the people that gather there regularly are the house of God. And so when we are gathered together, we are in the house of God, not because we're in a building that's called a church, but because we are together collectively the corporate body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the house of God. Now when you go there, be more geared in your spirit to hearing and learning than you are to speaking, particularly if what you have to speak is not making its way through the Ephesians 4 filter of only that which is good unto edifying. Picture it with me. I have never seen this done right, correctly. I've never seen it. Now, I haven't spent a whole lot of time either in these circles, so you want to take this, you know, with that caveat, but it's not like it's only been one time that I've been in such a situation. I have never been to a charismatic / Pentecostal church where tongues speaking was happening, where it followed the regulations of 1 Corinthians 14. I have never seen it. Let's give it to you that this is the real thing. Most of the time I don't believe that it is. If not almost like 0.0001 something percent of the time, I'd say it's real. I have never seen it in my 32 years as a believer and in the last, how long have I been a pastor here? 22. I really don't see it because I'm here when church is going on, not somewhere else. But prior to that time, I've been in charismatic / Pentecostal churches, and when the tongues speaking starts, the whole place is doing it, not in turn, but all at the same time, with no interpretation. Three violations in one chapter in the same place. It's like, I know you guys read 1 Corinthians 14, that's like your favorite chapter. How come you just flagrantly disregard this. You know what that becomes? The sacrifice of fools. Let's say we're not against charismatics. I'm not against Pentecostals. I tell you in the Holy Spirit bearing witness with my conscience, if they believe, I love them. They're my brothers and my sisters. But I'm going to label what the Scripture labels that way, but let's leave them. Let's leave that. Let's say you don't have a charismatic Pentecostal situation. You've got someone behind this used to be called affectionately in churches, this lovely object used to be called the sacred desk. Okay? Holy work went on behind the sacred desk. This is anything but sacred in most places that call themselves churches today. Because the sacrifice of fools is what goes out there. Things that are not doctrinal, not biblical, not scriptural at all. So when you come to the house of God, be more ready to hear than how many, if we're not making it something official, something auspicious, something, formal. What if it's just afterwards and the buzz starts after in our church, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, and the buzz starts. How much of the buzz is the sacrifice of fools? We come together in Hebrews 10:25 to exhort one another daily. How much of what we talk about really is exhorting one another? You ought to greet one another with a holy kiss by name. You ought to greet one another every time. Try to greet everyone, but once that greeting's done, and is there any real spiritual substance that is communicated past that point? Then to Ecclesiastes. Oh, we have another. Ecclesiastes 5:3. For a dream comes through much activity. There's a number of ways you could take this. You've probably all done this, right? You've probably all watched something on television, watched some kind of movie or something. Maybe when you're a kid, you watched some kind of horror flick. That's really dumb when you're a kid. And then you go to sleep that night, and Dracula is coming after you all night long, every time you wake up. See, the stuff that you did in the day gets messed up, jumbled around, and a dream comes from it. Well, that's how you get dreams. A lot of them, not all of the dreams that we have come that way. I can't remember what it was some time ago. I thought, I haven't thought of this person in years. Why are they in my dream? It's not all based on what you thought of that day. But that's how you recognize a dream. And a fool's voice, a Casiel's voice. How do you recognize a Casiel's voice? Many words. Into Ecclesiastes 10, and we will be done with this point. Fools don't restrain their mouths, but speak all their thoughts. Ecclesiastes 10, begin at verse 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. That is, they get swallowed up because of the adverse circumstances they bring upon themselves because of the harsh things they say to and about people, because the wise man would say grace things. Things of grace. Gracious things about others. Verse 13, the words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and the end of his talk is raving madness. A Casiel also multiplies words. No man knows what is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? The Casiel thinks he knows. The Casiel thinks he has the necessary foresight and sagacity to be able to tell you what's going to happen. Since you did that, or if you do that, this is what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. Let's go to point 8. Boy, need to make some headway. Most of these are just one verse. Alright? Point 8. Casiel fools despise parents. Proverbs 15:20. Particularly the mother is involved here. A wise son makes a father glad, but a kaseel despises his mother. Thinks little of his mother, literally, or thinks lightly of his mother. 9. Kaseel fools are stubborn. Proverbs 17:10. Rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a kaseel. That is, if you're wise, I can come and tell you, you know what, this is wrong. This is the wrong way to think. This is the way that the Scripture talks about this category that you're operating in right now. And the wise man will say, gave me Scripture for that, and it was rightly interpreted, and I'm recognizing that satisfies my soul. That's I change today. But you can't change a kaseel with 100 blows, with 100 stripes, 100 floggings, 100 scourgings. Of course, we learned last week, right? We're too civilized and respectable for that kind of thing today, right? But back when they weren't civilized and respectable, they were wise, there were those kinds of punishments. And it still wouldn't correct kaseels. Point 10, two verses away. Kaseel fools erupt in anger when their folly is questioned or resisted. 17:12. Let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a kaseel in its folly. You say, wait a minute. Last week you said that was the aveal. Oh no. Last week I said that the word folly was evelet, what the evil operates in. This tells you that there's a lot of overlap between the word kaseel and evil, because the word fool in this verse is kaseel, but he operates in the stuff of the evil, the evelet. But you see how he erupts in anger. I don't have to act that out again, do I? Last week, y'all got that? Okay. 11. Kaseel fools view wisdom as unattainable in the familiar, and therefore seek it far away. That is, there's opportunities for wisdom right there, right in front of you. But the kaseel thinks, no, it's got to be far away. That is, its familiarity with circumstances and people tends to devalue those circumstances and people and urges him to find wisdom in some faraway corner. Jesus. What does it mean when it says of him that in Nazareth he had testified, a prophet has no honor except among his relatives and in his own hometown. That's LMT translation, okay? Why is that? Because you think, I can't possibly know the Messiah. You're not going to tell me that I went to high school with the Messiah. That the guy listed in the J section, in the pictures of my graduating class, that Jesus at Nazareth High, that's the Messiah? No. And so they took offense at him, tried to push him off of the cliff that Nazareth was built on, tried to kill him, because they won't hear him because they're familiar with him. Get familiar with a teacher, the power, even though the words are the same, the power of those words as they meet your soul is vanquished. 12. Kaseel fools are argumentative. Proverbs 18:6. A kaseel's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. His lips enter into contention. he gets in the middle of that argument. He likes the argument. He likes a good argument. 13. Casseal fools are perverse in lips. What they say is wicked. 19:1. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a casseal. 14. Casseal fools squander their provisions. Proverbs 21:20. There is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a casseal squanders it. That is, nothing is saved for tomorrow. It's all imbibed in today. It's feast or famine for the casseal, not because circumstances are just that way, not because his situations are against him, but because he is his own worst enemy. He will find some reason to spend that money, no matter how much it is. It's burning holes in his pocket. I mean, it's got to escape. He squanders provisions. 15, casseal fools are irresponsible and untrustworthy. Proverbs 26:6. He who sends a message by the hand of a casseal cuts off his feet and drinks violence. That is, you couldn't trust him. We developed this a long time when we were teaching here, but on this verse. The idea is, you send a message by a casseal, you're going to get violence for it. It's going to be negative after you hear the ways that message was interpreted, the way it was embellished, the way it was not faithfully communicated, and people get angry about it. There are going to be adverse ramifications. So why are you going to send a message by the hand of a casseal? They're irresponsible and trustworthy. And finally, 16, casseal fools, once freed, will return to slavery to sin. Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a casseal repeats his folly. Now if we look at this, why I talk about it as slavery to sin, that folly, is because of the way that Peter uses this in the New Testament. He talks about false teachers who promise liberty, but they're enticing through the lusts of the flesh those who have really already escaped from the pollutions of the world through the recognition of the Lord Jesus Christ. When they become entangled in their sins again as a result of their listening, their heeding the false teacher, it has happened to them, as Peter says, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit and a fool returns to his folly. A casseal goes back to that slavery, though he was emancipated. Though through the recognition of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was liberated from his sins experientially, he goes back to it with a vengeance. He goes and returns to his sins, Peter would say, folly, as it is found here in Proverbs. So, let's go through these. This is the composite picture. Maybe if we can clump these and do it very quickly, you'll get this picture sharply in your mind. In your minds. Here's what we went through, right? 16 points on the casseal. Casseal fools hate truth and therefore despise corrective instruction. Casseal fools slander. Casseal fools are self-destructively lazy. Casseal fools don't pay vows to God. Casseal fools are and love evil. Casseal fools are ragingly self-confident. Casseal fools don't restrain their mouths, but speak all their thoughts. Casseal fools despise parents. Casseal fools are stubborn. Casseal fools erupt in anger when their folly is questioned or resisted. Casseal fools view wisdom as unattainable in the familiar and therefore seek it far away. Casseal fools are argumentative. Casseal fools are perverse in lips. Casseal fools squander their provisions. Casseal fools are irresponsible and untrustworthy. Casseal fools, once freed, will return to slavery to sin. Now that you know what characterizes the casseal, you want to run away from these things. If you have ever done any of these things, it does not label you casseal. It does not put a stamp, put a big bruise, put a big cough on their forehead, the Hebrew word that begins casseal, you know. You did this once. That's not what we're talking about. But we're saying these are the characteristics. These are the things that characterize a casseal. And so if you see proclivities in yourselves toward any of these directions, you want to deal decisively with those things and take sides with God against yourselves to root them out. This is, each of these things are the opposite. These are 16 opposites of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as we said last week about the veil. This is a negative image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the opposite in every sense of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were predestined in Romans 8 and 29 to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Therefore, as we are involved in that process in progressive sanctification, let us note these things, say, okay, that is the opposite direction. That is not the way. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way. That is not the truth. That is not the life. So let's get rid of these things, I exhort you. If we see tendencies, inclinations toward any of these characteristics of the veil, and let us go further, progress deeper into that conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ to which we were predestined. Ultimately, that predestination will take place at ultimate glorification when, even if you botch it down here, it will happen by God's power later. But why would you want down here, want to not walk in conformity with the Lord Jesus Christ? You want to please Him in all things, learning what the will of the Lord is. He who has ears to hear, for the third time tonight, let him hear.